Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna J. White, and I want to welcome you to Wounded to Wonderful Radio. I'm so excited today because this is the second part of, a two-part series that I wanted to do about the beginning stages of sexual abuse and the victims and how they suffer in silence. Today's episode is Why Sexual Abuse Victims Suffer in Silence. I know for me, when I was asked the question, well, why didn't you tell? Why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you leave? And I thought that was something or a question that the adult should have known. But in reality, adults do not know. They're too busy about their own business of taking care of you, quote unquote. Not only does not telling force sexual victims to suffer in silence, it also means your child might not get treatment. For me, I didn't get treatment until I was way into 17, 18 years old, and that wasn't because my parent did it for me or suggested it for me or insisted for me. It's because I was contemplating suicide. I was severely depressed. I was walking home one day on my own with my son, who was 8 months. I was a teenage pregnant mom, and he was about 8 months old, and I was coming home from one of my friend's houses. And we seemed to, we were partying all night. Of course, he was with me. And I was walking home, and I started to cry. And it was a couple blocks over from my house. I started to cry, like, my life has come to this. I remember thinking that my life has come to this. I have a child on my side. I don't know which direction I'm going. I'm coming from partying all night. And I don't see any change. I don't see anything that I'm contributing. My soul was weary. And my mind was so confused. And as I was walking home, I remember passing my house and I was just crying, crying, crying. And I had my son with me. I remember just crying. And I'm walking towards, just passing my house and soon to find myself sitting on the railroad tracks. And I sat there and I said, well, I inflicted pain on other people and I changed everybody's life. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to sit here and wait for this train because I deserve the pain. This is what I was telling myself. I'm still a child now, because you got to remember, when you're traumatized early, your soul grows slowly, okay? Just so you know, wherever you're traumatized, that's where you are until you go back and heal that little child from the beginning. But at any rate, I sat there for hours. I sat there for hours and hours, and the train never came. And I sat there, and I began to grin at myself, and I said, man, I can't even kill myself right. And that's when I knew on my walk back that my life and my child's life mattered. And now I had to get up and do something, but what? So I say all of that for you to hear how this thing that was injected into our lives as victims, how it goes further into addictions, mental health disorders, depression, and their long term. So if a child does not get treatment, this is long term into adulthood. No telling puts other kids at risk. That's what it does. It didn't do it for me, because what I did is I became isolated because I was afraid that I was going to do it to someone else. And on the flip side of it, they can become predators themselves. But it puts other children at risk because it's not just one child that he or she does it to. It has either happened before multiple times, and or it will continue if the predator is not dealt with, if he's not punished, if he's not put the task of the charge. So not telling, it does give the child a whole lot to figure out, but when they place this nugget of trust in the parents and the caretaker's hands, there should be something done. Because you're entrusted as an adult and a caretaker to take care of the child, to train them in the way they should go, that they may not steer another way. But somehow we take it upon ourselves and feel for ourselves, well, if I tell this little secret, my family is going to be ostracized. People are going to be looking at us different. You know, my family's going to be torn apart. Now I have to take off work and deal with this and go back and forth to court. Now I have to deal with this with, you know, all these children and me have to now go to counseling. I can't do all of that. So this is what I'm going to do. This is what you're saying as a parent, as a caretaker. I'm not going to say anything. I'll separate them. This is exactly what happened with me. I'll separate them. You stay on that side of the house, and you stay on that side of the house. Well, how long do you think that'll work? If it did happen, if it were to happen, what would happen in general? The child will still be suffering without treatment, and the predator will go find someone else, if not another family member. There's a lot to deal with when you're talking about telling. The most important part is you have to make sure your child knows it's okay to tell. If you haven't already spoken to your child about sexual abuse safety, it's time to start. 4 years old, 5 years old, I was explaining to my kids about that because I was a victim and I refused to have that happen for my children. Another thing that we, as the parents, we don't get involved in a child's life enough. Oh, go outside and play. Go over Sister Sue's house. Go over George's house and play. And we don't know who is over there. We don't get involved and we don't care to get involved. Like, who is in that household? And we set our children up to be unsafe. Important for parents to go beyond helping your children to be aware. Go beyond it. Educate yourself. Don't just tell them. You probably don't even know the statistics of sexual abuse or incest in 10 children. You don't know that. You probably don't even know how many male or female, what's the statistics on male or female. You don't know that either. But you have to start understanding the reasons why some children don't tell about their sexual abuse. Best way to helping your child or a child know they can trust you. Survivors of childhood sexual abuse have so much fear and so much emotion attached to telling their parents. The number one is children who have been threatened may have that threat and carrying it around tell that it's going to break up the family, or that if you tell, I'm going to kill your mother, or if you tell, I'm going to kill your siblings. The predator uses what's close to you to get to you, to get to the child, excuse me. Children might feel afraid of being rejected. Don't you believe or think that the children do know what you go through. They observe you. If you're a single mother, you're going out to work, you're stressing, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're taking care of bills. you're trying to make them happy, they pick all of that up. So you think they would want to, if they were being abused, do you think they want to upset you even more? Do you think that they want to have a negative reaction and have family and friends, you know, upset with them and saying you're the cause of it? Children might be afraid of rejection, of upsetting others, the family, and even in some cases, the alleged offender, because it may be their father, or it may be their mother or grandparent, or someone that is influential in the family. They don't want that. Children also fear, that people will treat them differently if they knew about the abuse. They don't know why or what they would be doing to kind of make them feel different, but that's what they feel. They also feel very powerless and vulnerable because they feel that they have no way of stopping it. And they feel that no one has the ability to stop the abuser if the family member is not even seeing that it's happening in their very own place of safety, which is home. Because they're highly dependent on the parents and the caregivers for their safety. The parents and the caregivers are protectors. They should be overseeing them, but they don't. The biggest thing I want you to know as caregivers and parents is that the children have conflicting and confusing feelings, and you shouldn't ask the question, why didn't you tell? Sexual abuse victims suffer in silence, but we want to give them a voice. That's what Wounded to Wonderful Radio is here for. If you ever want to talk to me, have a conversation with me, I'm available. You can actually schedule time with me, 30 minutes, at www.facebook.com/livingfromtheinsideout, or you can call me at 631-772-9098. Talk to me about those conflicting and confusing feelings. Parents, caregivers, even the children, victims, victories, thrivers, call me and let's talk about it. This is Edna J. White. And this is Wounded to Wonderful Radio. Enjoy your day.